بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فهل ينتظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة فقد جاء أشراطها فأنى لهم إذا جاءتهم ذكراهم صدق الله العظيم. Firstly, my dear respected brothers and sisters who are listening, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's wonderful to be here all the way to this southern part of the world where perhaps you guys think that you're safe from Dajjal. You guys are probably all safe with all your fortresses. Just leave it here. I just want to see them as well, so I'll just leave you there, inshallah. So you guys are in one part of the world where the rest of the world is north from you. Is that right? I like to engage with the audience when I talk to you, so if you're not used to it, you're going to have to speak. Otherwise, you're going to go to sleep. So everything is north from you, huh? You're in the south part. If Dajjal comes, I tell you, the best thing for you guys to do is just to go to the South Pole. Because it's not very far. And you know, I don't think Dajjal will fancy going to the South Pole. So you're kind of safe as well. The topic they gave me is about the signs of the last hour. And we've got literally about 45 minutes to say a few words on it. I've got other lectures and so on the topic on the internet. You can see it. But today, because there's only 45 minutes, I'm just going to concentrate on a few of the things that are probably relevant to us as well. Because one of the things that you find about the signs of the last hour is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously talks about things that will change. And one thing that he talks about is drastic changes that will come. Drastic changes. So the world was moving in one way for millennia. So you're talking about centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. The world was moving in one way, one system, one more or less way of humanity being on the earth. And suddenly, before the Day of Judgment, things change. And if you want to know the whole point of saying that, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning us. And he's warning us that things are going to change very drastically. The way your forefathers, the way the whole world was, things are not going to be the same anymore. So he's asking us to hurry up and to do as many good actions as we can before it gets worse. Do you guys understand? Only 7 people said yes. Munir sahab, Urdu mein baat karna padega. Bengali mein shuru kar dunga. Let me ask you again, do you guys understand, yes or no? MashaAllah, it's a bit better. If you talk to me, we'll stay a bit lively throughout the session. You've got to do your actions quick before things change even more. What does that mean? That means that you shouldn't listen to the signs of the Day of Judgment for entertainment. You know, we've got a whole group of people today that when you talk about Dajjal, they get excited. Wow! Dajjal gonna come, me gonna come too. Understand? Dajjal go right, me go left. No. If Dajjal comes, I'll be surprised if you still have your wudu. You guys understand? You don't understand? How does wudu break? You understand? If Dajjal appears, I'll be surprised even if you have your wudu left. Dajjal is going to be the worst fitna, the worst tribulation the whole world has seen. This is going to be bigger than any tribulation you've seen so far. So all the calamities, all the epidemics that have happened, all the things that are catastrophic, all the things that you'll say, Ya Allah, how worse can it get for the Muslims? And how worse can it get for the humanity, for the humans on the earth? If you've looked at history, if you looked at wars, if you looked at for even the World War I and World War II, worse than that will be the days of Dajjal. Because the World War II, you still had your food, right? When Dajjal comes, you're not going to get your papadums, mate. You don't understand papadums? You guys love your papadums, your biryanis, your lamb steak, your game. I don't know what you have on the table. MashaAllah. Allah has blessed you in South Africa. Yeah, barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless you. Amen. Say, be louder. May Allah bless you. Amen. You're very lucky here, MashaAllah. You got everything here. But when Dajjal comes, and if Dajjal comes, one thing that will go away is the food supply from the people that don't believe in him. So if you want to hold on to your iman, you got to think about your food. Because Dajjal will literally start to change that system as well. And the food that you're having, forget you trying to get the food that you're getting on the table right now. You won't even have any animals grazing. You won't have any crops around. You won't have any water. You won't have any rain. You won't have any of that. Because Dajjal will have a control over that. So World War II was a time when, yes, they had bombs and they had bullets flying and they had people dying, but people were still able to live a normal life. But today, what you'll find is that if the time of Dajjal comes, your roti and your basic bread on the table is going to go. Now, these youngsters and others, they get excited with a lot of stuff that is coming up. And some people try to get into this whole game of prophesizing, when is Dajjal going to come? I don't know, do you guys have those people around as well? They try to put a date. They try to tell you, oh, you better listen to me. If you don't listen to me, then Dajjal's going to come very quick and you won't even know where he hit you. The thing is, you can't give a date to when Dajjal is going to come. The person who gives a date to Dajjal coming, you should know that he is fake. You guys understand or not understand? You're looking for the dalil now, right? You want the dalil. You want the evidence. I'll tell you the evidence. The evidence is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked himself about the last hour, he said, I don't know. When he was asked about Dajjal, that is Dajjal coming, he said, if he comes while I'm alive, then I'm enough for him. But if he doesn't, basically he comes and I'm not alive, then every man for himself. And he told us about Isa alayhi salam, that Isa alayhi salam is going to be the one who will come and take out Dajjal. The point is that when these youth, they get excited and they have people amongst them, even some of them claim to be, you know, knowledgeable people, and they say this particular year Dajjal will come, you need to understand that such people can't do what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself did not do. Okay? We don't know when he's going to come, but I'll tell you one thing that is certain, is that we've got a lot of the early signs that are coming for the Day of Judgment. Now, there are two types of signs. There's minor signs, there's major signs. But whether it's minor signs or major signs, you've got to understand the world will not function the way it is. So let's talk about some of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about the minor signs and the things that we have to be wary of. So what I will tell you is, he has told us, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. He has said, a man will be a believer in the morning, but by evening he will lose his faith. A man will be a believer in the morning, but by evening he will lose his faith. And separate hadith, he says that a man will be a believer by night, by morning he has lost his faith. Such drastic changes will happen. Today we have a massive problem of people losing their faith in Islam. The only thing left for them is the name of a Muslim and the fact that they belong in a Muslim family. I don't know whether you're seeing this in South Africa or not, but we've got a huge problem on the other side. You know the northern side where you guys don't go? In the northern side, we've got a huge problem of this. But the southern side is not completely free from what's happening up there. Because today the way the world works with this information, it's no longer books anymore. Books give you information, but the amount of percent of information that travels through books is probably less than 5% today. The amount of information that travels from human to human today, from the smartphone,
is probably 90-something percent. We're getting most of our information through the smartphone. So if you think that South Africa is completely safe from the fitnas that are going on in the northern part, you're wrong. Because the smartphone is going to bring all of those things to the hands of the people quicker than you could ever imagine. And that's one of the things about the time of Dajjal. Because when Dajjal comes, his fitna is spreading so quick across the world. In fact, every country he has under his fitna. There will be no part of the world he's going to leave. Literally no part of the world he's going to leave. Wherever there's a human population, he will make sure that his men or he himself will reach there, except Makkah and Medina. The only place where he won't... And when we say Makkah and Medina, we mean the Haramain. See, Makkah and Medina doesn't even mean the whole of Saudi Arabia. It doesn't mean that. Makkah and Medina is more or less the Haramain and the places of sanctuary where he won't be able to come. And when Prophet ﷺ said Makkah and Medina, he's talking about his time of Makkah and Medina, which was a small Medina and a small Makkah. So any expansions that have happened after that, there's no guarantee that they're going to get the safety of Dajjal. Do you guys understand? When the Prophet ﷺ was talking about Makkah and Medina, his Makkah and Medina was very small. In fact, I don't know if many of you know or not, that the whole of Medina, including the outskirts of Medina. How many of you have been to Medina Munawwara? Put your hands up. MashaAllah, it's good. You see the minarets of the masjid of Medina? See the minarets? Those minarets, anything inside there? Guys, easy with the sound system, whoever's controlling that. Those minarets, anything inside the minarets was the entire Medina, entire city of Medina was in there. They used to come and pray Eid outside the one of the minarets. Outside the minarets, there is a place there, okay, that they used to pray Eid. That was like the furthest part they would go to have the large jama'ah outside of the Medina city. So literally the whole of Medina was within Masjid al-Nabawi that we know today. I'm talking about including the courtyard, all the marbles outside the courtyard. That was the entire Medina Munawwara at that time. Anyway, the Dajjal will go to every single part and no one's going to be safe. But the information that travels today is exactly through the smartphone, the media, the social media that we have. Most of it travels. The iman and kufr that comes about, where people are losing their iman, is going to be a lot to do with the information that comes to people. Are you guys following me? Today the youth are not listening to just the lectures that we have here. The internet is open to them. And when the internet is open to them, all information on the internet is at the tip of their fingers. And you should be careful to who you listen to. Because if you listen to the wrong person, you could have the wrong understanding of Islam. So talk to your local ulama to understand who you should listen to and who you shouldn't listen to. Prophet ﷺ is talking about changes that will happen. One of the big changes, he says, that will happen near the end of time, and various ahadith, that alcohol drinking, prostitution, and women selling their bodies, men giving themselves up. The whole thing of people losing their moral identity. People not caring about the moral identity, about the financial, you know, spending. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ has said that alcohol will be very widespread across the whole of the earth. And in one narration he says that singing and dancing will end up in every single house. So in those times it was very, very difficult to understand. How does singing and dancing end up in every house? How will every house do it? But subhanAllah, today it's very, you know, it's easy to understand. Is it easy to understand? Yes or no? Guys, tell me yes or no. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say? Yes or no?
Yes.
Say again, yes or no?
Yes.
So I don't need to explain to you how singing and dancing ends up in every single house. No?
No?
No? Now a few people said no. Do you hear that, Moza? First when I said you understand, everyone said, yeah, yeah, we understand. When I said, that's it, no, no. If you know what the remote control is, then the remote control through that, whatever they're watching, they can choose the channels that are continuously playing 24 hours singing and dancing. 24 hours is being played on certain satellite channels. And that itself is one very clear example of how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that these things are going to happen. Then there's going to be the loyalties of people that will change. So for example, he's clearly told us about the problem within the family. Brothers and brothers will become such enemies that you would have expected it to be outside the house. The whole silatul rahim, keeping ties, is going to be in question. In fact, a man will get married, and after he gets married, what's more important to him is to make sure that his newly wedded missus, what do you call her? Do you call her missus? What do you call her? A missus is okay? Huh? Wife, bride, missus, sweetheart, darling, love heart. Huh? What is it? Go and say it, young boy. He's not saying it. Right? She becomes more important than the mother who gave birth to him. It happens or it doesn't happen, guys. Are you like angels in South Africa? I mean, am I talking to a bunch of angels? Mullah, where have you brought me? Eh? These guys, they don't even accept any problem that is going on. Does it happen or does it not happen? It happens. And if you do the calculations, subhanallah al-azim, do the calculations. I mean, even if the mother's wrong, let's just say for a minute, okay? Even if the mother is wrong, even if the mother is being a little bit like, you know, I don't want that. The kitchen is mine. You know how it starts, right? It's all about the kingdom, isn't it? Guys, you guys, you understand or you don't understand? You know what the kingdom is? It's the kitchen. How much in a butter? Kitchen. That's the kingdom. So it starts from there. The little wars, you know. I normally use this spoon, why using that spoon? Yeah. It starts from those things. When I serve the table, I put the plate here, then the spoon on this side, and the knife and fork on that side, you put it the other way around. Where did you learn your manners from? And you scratch the cooker, oh my God. Yeah. You scratch the cooker, hi. No forgiveness for that. So anyway, let's say even if, you know, one of the problems that happens, I tell you one thing here, maybe I might be able to save a few, you know, lives here, okay? One of the problems that happens is some mothers, they bring their sons up, and they bring their sons up in a way that because the mother has lost the relationship with the father. So you got to understand this. I'm saying something which is probably not said normally. So you better be able to digest this. I've heard you guys, your digestion problem is a little bit slow. Okay. In South Africa, you don't digest words very easily. So let me say very clearly, so that you understand. You know, sometimes the Mia Bibi, the husband and wife, they've been together for 30 years or 20 years. So the relationship sometimes might get sour. So what happens is she's lost her love for her husband, but she's bringing her sons up. And she diverts her attention and her love towards the son. You understand? So she thinks that when my sons grow up, they will look after me. You know, my husband, me, we are relationship not so good. Every time, ba 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 ba. You understand? Ba 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 is telling you those other words I don't want to say right now. You understand? So when that happens, she's saying that when my sons grow up, then they will look after me. They are my life. They're my future. They're my everything. The love I never got from my husband of looking after me, I'm going to get it from my sons. And then the sons go up and she's so happy, mashallah, my boy. He's looking so nice, young, handsome, so good. And then the day he gets married, she gets confused. She gets confused. She thinks, I bought you up for 25, 30 years, thinking that you're going to be just looking at me as your pride of, you know, I didn't know this little sweetheart, darling, wife, whatever you want to call her, comes inside. And she steals all the love that I had and takes it away from me and takes it. You understand, guys? How much, buddy? You guys understand? Gujarati bolte hai ya nahi bolte? Yeah? You understand, guys? You understand the psychology of it? So that's why she's now having a war in the kitchen. It's like she doesn't like this woman because the woman stole the love of her one and only. Hi, hi, hi. But anyway, you as a young man, what you've got to understand is where does your loyalty remain? One side you got your wife, one side you got your mother. What do? If you listen to your mother, your wife is upset with you. And boy, when your wife is upset with you, you're going to be sleeping on your own tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like? And if you listen to your wife, then your mother is upset with you. And if your mother is upset with you, it rips your heart. You think, Ya Allah, my mother, I don't want to get a baddua. I don't want to be cursed by my mother. Yes? So the guy now is in a very big situation. What does he do? I tell you what to do. You can keep your mother happy and you can keep your wife happy. Can you do that or not? Only 5 people said yes. The rest of you don't know what life is. La hawla wa la quwwata. The rest of you are like, nah man, I gotta keep my wife happy, you know what I'm saying? I need the samosas coming, you know. I need the pakoras coming, yeah. You can keep your mother happy and your wife happy. You don't have to take sides. But one thing is, respect your mother because she's not going to be living very long. Even if she's in the wrong, give the respect to the mother. Why? I tell you, you're going to regret it later on. If you start siding with your wife, you'll regret it later on. The day your mother goes from the earth, you're going to regret it. Trust me and mark my words. Why? Because the mother looked after you for 25, 30 years. This woman has only come into your life for 25 or 30 months. How do you do the calculation? You got the calculation wrong, my friend. If you think that the mother doesn't deserve your loyalty at this time, then you look at how much loyalty your mother gave you. You guys understand or not understand? She gave you 25 years. Your wife gave you 25 months. Who gave you more? Somebody, you took time to think. You took time to think. The mother, she gave you more time. She gave you more loyalty. Look after her. Just keep her happy. And your wife, just tell her, sabr. What do you tell her? You guys know what sabr is? You guys know what sabr is? Subhanallah, I need to teach you guys sabr. See, sabr is something very easily said. So let me tell you, say sabr right now. It took you 1 second to say. To act upon sabr takes a lifetime. To say sabr is a second. But to act upon sabr is a lifetime. Tell your wife to have the patience because it's your old mother. She's in the end of her days. Let her have her way. Just have some sabr. Soon, when your mother goes, you'll be getting her biggest du'as before she left the world. But the Prophet ﷺ said that a man near the end of time will abandon his mother because of his wife. Do you understand? A son will abandon his father for his friends. A son will abandon his father for his friends. And you guy, if you're a young man and you think your father is X, Y, Z, my God, you don't even know what life is. Let me explain to you what happens, yeah? A young boy, when he's in his teenage, when he gets to teenage, yeah, he thinks his father is very strict. His father is this, his father is that. He doesn't like his father. He gets to 18, 19 years old. He's got all these restrictions that his father has put around him. He doesn't like his dad. Mm-mm. You guys following me? You don't follow me? You follow me? Yes? He doesn't like his dad. Then finally he gets married. His dad is old. He kind of, you know, just keeps his dad to the side. He doesn't really have much communication with his dad. And then he has a son himself. So his wife gives birth to a son. So he starts bringing his son up. And now he's in his 30s. He starts saying, "Huh, Papa used to do a lot, huh? Papa used to do a lot, huh? Mama used to do a lot, huh?" Now he begins to realize what his mother and father did. When his own son starts to become 5, then 10, then he says to himself, when his father's already gone to the grave, he said, "Papa was right, huh? Papa was right, huh? Papa did the right thing, huh? I wonder how Papa put up with me all those years. I wonder how Papa put up with me all those years. I was a rebel, huh? My son, now I can see him being a rebel. I hope my son respects me." Do you guys understand? When his father's in the grave and he's got his own son, and then he remembers dad, then you know what? Dad was the best dad ever. The time when you will wake up will be too late. And you have said when you were a young man that your father's not the right person, and because you never understood what life was. Life is not understood before the age of 40. Before the age of what? My God, some of you heard 14. La hawla wala. I said 40. 40. Because the Quran has said, "Hatta idha balagha ashudda wa balagha 40 sana." When the man reaches his prime age, his best age, he reaches his maximum growth in terms of mentally growing. Because there's a physical growing and there's a mental growing. The physical growing stops at 15, 16, 18, 19, 20. Your physical growth has stopped. Your mental growth carries on until 40. And when you get to 40, then you start understanding life. You guys understand? Yes? So all you 14-year-olds, go and clean your, what do you call them? Do you call them diapers? What do you call them? You call them diapers? Nappies? You call them nappies here? Go and clean your nappies. Okay, sorry, no offense to any 14-year-olds. I know you don't wear nappies. I know that. You just don't know how to keep your trousers up. You want to advertise what's... You know, some of these youth, they want to advertise what's down there. It falls down, but they keep it down. Because they want people to know what I'm wearing, see? It's a Calvin Klein, you know what I'm saying? Calvin Klein bottom that I've got. The, what do you call them? Do you call them underpants? What do you call them? The jockeys. The jockeys, Calvin Klein. You want to advertise how much it cost you to wear that. But we don't want to know what you're wearing underneath, my friend. Yeah, so just pull it up. So anyway, the Prophet ﷺ is talking about major changes coming to the earth. And these are some of the things that affect us on a daily basis. Another one is going to be, for example, the masjids and the places of worship. We start to put more effort behind the concrete buildings and the way it looks. Then, and we also decorate the Quran. We print some wonderful, magnificent, grandeur-looking Qurans, and we will put our efforts behind all the calligraphies and all the colors and everything else. But yet, the Prophet ﷺ says, when the masjids are so well-looking and structured, the hearts are completely ruined. You understand? I'm not saying anything about this masjid. I'm saying about every masjid across the world, more or less today. Okay? So the founders of this masjid has got nothing to do with them. It's about every masjid across the world. What we're doing is, we now get into an outer religion, but we forget the inner religion, inner faith. What's more important, the outer or the inner? Guys, what's more important, the outer or inner? No. I'm going to have a war today, Molna. Honesty. What's more important, the outer or the inner? So when you get married, where do you look? Huh? A bolona? Do you look at the taqwa of the woman? The deen of the woman? The religion of the woman? Upon which the Prophet ﷺ said, He said, Taribat yadak, he said, you'll be prosperous, you won't fail. If she has the deen inside her, you won't fail. Okay, on top of that, if she's beautiful, then you've got nurun ala nur, you've got light upon light. You guys understand? Yes. You understand? Yeah? No, you don't understand. No. Don't start me on that one. Your first priority, and every other first priority, is the beauty first. Such a, is it true or not true? Come on, guys. And let's admit. Come on, let's be. For you in the masjid, you can't lie. The first thing is the outer, the beauty. Then, if she's got a bit of the deen, no problem. But the beauty has to be there. Or some people, they go for the money. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you go for just the beauty, or you go just for the money, or you go just for the hasab, which is the family lineage, if you go only for that and you leave the religion out, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble because you looked at the outer and you didn't look at the inner. And we all know that you have to look at the inner than the outer. Like when you do business, you guys are wonderful businessmen. MashaAllah, we hear about your business from UK. Don't worry about us, we're okay, okay? We're okay, don't worry, we're okay. We were called Britain once, but now we call Brexit. No problem, we're still okay, we're surviving. But I heard you guys are good businessmen, but when you do business, what do you do? Do you look at the guy's, the suit that he wears, the briefcase he carries, the car that he came in, or do you look at his dealings of how he deals with people? Which one? His dealings, you're going to get references off him. Yes? All of you do references, that's more important. I don't care how many flashy cars you bring here. I don't care what diamond ring you're wearing. I don't care what you've got on the outside. I want to know what other people say about you and your past history. So when you get married, it should be more important that you look at the referencing. And today, subhanAllah, people, you know, they forget all about that. And it's all about the outer, not the inner. The Prophet ﷺ said, again with the religion, what will happen is people will look at the outer and not the inner. And that same thing is also coming to us. I'm going to give a couple of examples. But if I give you these examples, I don't want you to sort of, you know, be upset with me. Sometimes the truth has to be said. But the truth is not easy to swallow. You guys, are you following me? You want to hear the truth? No, you don't. Because after I say this, there's going to be a lot of conversation. You might not like me. But don't worry, I won't hurt you too much. There's different pills I've got. I'll give you the little pill. The one you can't just about digest. Now you're getting worried now. Pata nahi kya kahega. Pata, what's he going to say? What we've done with the outer is, we are more concerned with how many khatams we do than what the Quran has done in terms of my heart and the change in my life. Yes or no? People are counting Qurans, the quantity, but they're not looking at quality. So people, I'm telling you right now, when Ramadan comes, especially in the communities like yours, there's already a count going on. How many khatams have you done? How many khatams have you done? How many khatams have you done? I've done two. I've done three. I'm on my fourth one already. And it's the 10th of Ramadan. Or it's the 15th of Ramadan. I'm on my fourth one. Which is, okay, fine. You get the reward for it. Don't get me wrong. You get the reward. I'm not saying you don't get the reward. But what are you after? Are you after more of the quantity or the quality? How much may I in AI? You guys, let me give you an example, you will understand. When you do business, do you look at quantity or quality? Or what do you look at, quantity or quality? You look at, if you're going to make a quantity, let's say for example, you had a house and it cost you 4 million, and after that you made profit, and the profit was 5%, but you had another opportunity of making business and the percentage you would make on it is going to be 7 or 8%, which one would you go for? Which one will you accept? If you're getting 5% of a deal from one dealing And if you're getting 7% on the investment that you put in, 7% return back, which one will you go for? That took you a long time. You guys do business or you don't do business? I'm not even a businessman. You all know as businessmen, wherever the percentage of the return is more, you go for that. That's where your quality is. You don't look for the quantity. Doesn't matter how much quantity I'm selling, I've got to look at my return. Yes or no? Return. So when you're doing your Quran khatam, what's the return? What have I done for myself? Yes, akhirah is there. I'm getting reward. But the quality of the Quran is to sit, to allow the Quran to come inside me in a way that it changes me, my life, and who I am. That is quality. Quantity is how many khatams. Quality is how do I change myself. Now you can change yourself in many ways. Because I'll give you an example and you'll understand. When you're driving down the roads, would you call them high roads here? What do you call them?
Highways.
Highways. When you're driving the highways and you put a tilawa on, you know tilawa? You know, Quran recitation, when you put it on. Which one do you put on? Do you put this one on? A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يَخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Did you put that one on or do you put this one on? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون.
Which one do you put on? I've never gone into a car and they put the CD on or the recitation of the, you know, Quran being recited so fast that not even the angels will probably be able to write it down that fast. You know what I'm saying? Please forgive me for saying this, but we had a very good, we used to call him Umar Furi Huzur from Bangladesh. You know, he said an example. He said, you know, he said, some of you huffaz of the Quran, he said, the angels are going to put a case against you on the day of judgment. He's saying this in Bangladesh. He's a big alim, big scholar, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him and his grave. Very big alim he had, and he said this. Some of you huffaz, the angels are going to claim against you and they put a case against you on the day of judgment. He said, do you know why? He said, you read the Quran so fast, the angel will say we couldn't even write it that fast. How fast he read it. My point to you is when you're driving down the highway, let's be honest with ourselves. Because these things, you don't hear these, alright? And you know why I'm saying it? Because in 8 days' time, I'll be back in the UK. So I can get away with it. Molly Sahib can't get away with it. I'm just trying to wake you up with one thing. What's better? When I go down the highway, I listen to the Quran, which you said the second one, the slow one, the one that calms me down, the one that relaxes me, the one that I feel nice towards, the one that I want to listen to again and again. And I drive down the highway and I love it. And you know what? When you put tilawa nice and slowly, the driver drives slowly. Yes or no?
Yes,
yes or no? Come on. I've never seen a driver put the Quran on nice slow recitation and he's zooming. I've never seen that. But I tell you, if you put the Quran that is recited really fast, oh my God, I think he won't see red lights, he won't see green lights, he's going to see green all the way. You understand? He's just going to go zoom, zoom, zoom. Now my point to you is, yes, do your several khatam, no problem. But please, look at the quality. The quality is when I read slowly, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that there is an effect that happens inside the body. We all know this, the effect is going to be imminent on the heart. When you recite slowly, you recite with tajweed, you recite, and especially if you look at the meanings. If you can look at a little bit of the meaning, I'm not saying all of it in one go. Here and there, what did Allah say? Stop there, reflect. There's only 500 verses. Maximum there's going to be maybe 700-800 verses of the Quran you cannot take a direct lesson from. You have to come to the local imam and ask him, what does this mean? There's about 500 to 700 verses of the Quran that you won't be able to understand yourself, so you need the local imam for that. I understand that. Majority of the Quran, almost 6,000 verses, you'll be able to get a benefit from straight away. When Allah said, "Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir," Allah has a power over everything. Can you not understand that? Yes, you can. Can you not benefit from that? Of course you can. When Allah said, "Ya ayyuhan nas, ubudu rabbakum," O people, worship your Lord. You can understand, you can benefit. Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who created you. Walladhina min qablikum, the one who created those before you. Allah gave you the earth. Ja'ala lakum al-ardha mahda, He gave you the earth that is flat. Was-samaa binaa, He gave you the sky as a canopy. Wa anzala min as-samaa'i maa, and He brought from the skies, He brought waters down. You can understand that it's simple. Just take benefits, sit there, reflect, subhanallah. This is something which Allah has given me as a benefit. This is how the inside changes. This is where the quality is. And yes, I'm not telling you not to stop your khatam, you know, different khatams. Do your khatams, but take it a little bit easy. And don't get into a competition of how many, as opposed to how much. And again, some of you are going to be like, "No, Molly Saab said something today, I'm going to complain." Before you complain, I'm going to give you a hadith. Okay, because I know some of you sitting there thinking, "Man, I was doing my 15 khatams every Ramadan, yeah? Or my 10 khatams every Ramadan," and now he's, no, I don't, I'm not saying don't do your khatams. You do your khatams, but get the inside return. Return is, how does my heart change? That's the quality. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in the hadith that people will make the Quran decorative, the masjid decorative, so it's the outer, but they're not looking at the inner. So let me give you now a hadith, and then you'll probably understand. Because again, we look at quantity, we don't look at quality. So let's just say, for example, this is a big masjid. What's one of the biggest masjids you have in Johannesburg? Is there ikhtilaf in that as well? You got ikhtilaf in that as well? Huh? Just one of them, Nurul Islam. Nurul Islam, okay? We got a big masjid, Nurul Islam, okay? Now imagine we're all sitting in Nurul Islam, and it's the 20th. When do you finish your khatam here? 27th? 29th. Imagine, oh, let's say 27 or 29. It's the big night, okay? The Quran is being finished, okay? Ramadan time. At the end, they're doing a big expansion, and they're going to need some funds for the expansion. So they basically said, "Who's, you know, with a whole majma of maybe how many people can you get in Nurul Islam? Over 1,000 people sitting there. Some of you, like you businessmen, sitting there, and they're asking for donations. And what happens is, you know, as they're asking for donation, one brother stands up at the front row and he said, "I'm going to give 100,000." What are you guys going to say? You're not going to say, "Mashallah." No, no. You say, "MashaAllah, Takbir, Allahu Akbar." Takbir, what? No, no, not Allahu Akbar. Takbir. That's it. Takbir. You're going to bring the roof down with the takbirs. 100,000. You can imagine people give 100,000, 100,000, 100,000. You know, it's coming up. And then one brother at the back, he stands up and he says, "I'm going to give one." So if he said 100,000 rand, and then after that one brother stands up at the back and says, "I'm going to give 1 rand," what are you going to guys do? Subhanallah. Not subhanallah, you're going to laugh. You're going to be saying, "What kind of individual is this? 100,000 being raised here, and he just stands up and he says he's going to give one." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in a hadith of Abu Dawood, he said, that one man's one dirham has surpassed another man's 100,000 dirhams. And the Sahaba said, "Messenger of Allah, how does one dirham become more valuable in the sight of Allah than another man's 100,000 dirhams?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained. He said, "As for the man who gave 100,000, he had a lot of wealth. And from that immense wealth Allah gave him, a small portion was 100,000, so he gave that away. As for the other man who gave one, he only had 2 dirhams. So how much of his wealth did the second man give? 50% of his wealth he gives. Do you understand, guys? Allah, when He starts to measure our deeds, just remember this. In the Quran, when it said about our deeds, did Allah say He's going to count our deeds, or He said He's going to weigh our deeds? Which one? Let me ask you again. Did Allah say He's going to count our deeds or weigh our deeds? Which one? Weigh our deeds. So is Allah going to count how many khatams you have done, or He's going to weigh each khatam you did? Which one? Come on, say it again. Which one? Ha, so what we need to do now is we need to change the way we think. We want to do our several khatams, yes, but we want each one to be very weighty. Do you understand? That's my point to you. That don't compromise on the quality because of the quantity. So this is just another example I'm giving. I've been told I can speak to 8:45 by the Imam. So I'm going to carry on for another 15 minutes and then we'll have the Adhan. So the Prophet ﷺ is giving us examples of how the world is going to change. And one of the things he tells us about the Day of Judgment that is going to happen is going to be the major signs. So some of the minor signs I've talked about, it's the major signs. Of the major signs, you have 10 major signs. So of them is Dajjal. Of them is going to be many of the signs, Ya'juj, Ma'juj and so on. There's no time really to go into any one of them, but I'm going to say a few things that hopefully we can benefit from. So Imam Mahdi is going to be like a bridge between the minor signs and the start of the major signs. Because when the time comes for the major signs, Imam Mahdi will be ready as a bridge, but he won't be able to take on the Dajjal. But he will recoup all the Muslims and others behind him. He won't be able to take it on, but he will bring a lot of justice on the earth before Dajjal has even arrived. Now, the thing about that which I said to you earlier is that when the Prophet ﷺ is talking about the fitna of Dajjal, he's talking about the fitna that are going to come towards us. He's not just telling us to just talk about this fitna, talk about the tribulations. He's asking us to be quick and hurry to do as many actions as we can before those times come. Because there's going to be a time when the Qur'an will be uplifted. One of the major signs of the last hour is that the Qur'an, people will wake up in the mornings, they'll open the Qur'an, there won't be any writing inside there. Even the hafiz of the Qur'an will say, I used to know something, but I don't even remember what I forgot. One of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that the Kaaba will be destroyed. So the whole point of that is try and get much benefit of the Qur'an before the Qur'an is finished and try and do your Hajj and your Umrah before the Kaaba is gone. The whole point of saying all of that is it's going to be gone. One of the things about the Day of Judgment and about Dajjal is that when Dajjal comes, he's going to mesmerize people and people will find it difficult to even continue with their daily livelihood. In fact, there won't be any food. For the believers, there's no food. And if you think that you're a believer and you can take the Dajjal on, then you need to ask yourself whether you've been able to take the lesser evils on the earth on, and you've got sabr against them. Are you able to remember your Allah when the fitna of your own mobile phone is there in front of you, yes or no? Are you able to listen to Allah when the fitna and the tribulation of money is there in front of you, yes or no? Because the people who can't obey Allah when money is around, there's no way they're going to be able to stay away from the Dajjal, because the Dajjal will completely bring them to a halt. Today we've got, I want to open this up because a lot of Muslims think, oh, when the Dajjal comes, it's be fine, you know, we just get on with our lives, and we just like, you know, you're cool, I'm cool, man, you know. You're alright, man. No, I'm serious. Today, your stomach is full and you still can't come to the masjid. Today, your stomach is full. You got no worries. You're doing well in your business. You got barely any time for Allah. Tomorrow, when Dajjal comes and your stomach is empty, don't tell me you're going to be, you know, towards the right side. No, you're going to be gone, my friend. If you can't come to Allah today, when your stomach is full, you won't be able to do tomorrow when your stomach is empty. Because what the Dajjal will do, he'll come to, let's say he comes to South Africa. What's he going to say? He's going to say, believe that I'm God. He said, I'm your God. Say, everybody say, I'm your God. Whoever come, join my army. Join me, join my forces. You want to convert the whole world to my belief. So join me. If you're joining me, fine. You'll get food. If you say that I'm not your God, then I'm going to make sure that you have no food. So he's going to stop the rains from raining, however he does it, on your crops. You got no crops, You got no livestock, you got nothing for an entire 1 year. This is not one day hunger, my friend. This is 1 year. It's in the hadith. So the Sahaba were amazed. And they said, Messenger of Allah, how will we be able to sort of survive that day? How will we be able to get sustenance in our stomach? How will we be able to get food in our stomach? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your food will be what? The dhikr of Allah. It will be the tasbih of Allah.
Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim.
The tasbih of Allah. Just remembering Allah, being so much engrossed in the dhikr of Allah that becomes your food for 1 year. Tell me this, yes or no, when you go to the haram in Mecca and Medina, you don't even feel hungry. A lot of the times, put your hands up, if you've been in the haram for several hours, in the Mecca and Medina, in the masjid, put your hands up, and you've been there, and you've sat there, you've joined the ibadah, and you didn't feel the hunger as you would normally feel it, put your hands up if that was the case. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. Why? Because there's so much dhikr, so much Qur'an, so much tilawah, so much tasbih, so much of it being read, that becomes your sustenance, that becomes the thing that keeps you going. The people who get close to Allah, they don't need to eat much. Because they have so much remembrance of Allah that it becomes a rizq, it becomes a food in itself. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, that those people who stay away from Dajjal and they've been tortured for 1 year without food, they're able to stay 1 year without food. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I can do that. Some of you here are saying, I can do that. You can't even stay 1 day without meat. Forget food. Am I talking sense or am I talking nonsense? Guys, am I talking sense or nonsense? Mauli sahab to abhi hamare gosht bhi haram kara denge. I'm not here to say that your meat is not allowed. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we Muslims as a society, we cannot spend a day without meat being on the table, yes or no? You guys should know better because, you know, it's only my first day in South Africa, but I've ate a lot of meat, you know what I'm saying? Like, I won't tell you where I ate, but I had a lot of meat and I can tell from there that you guys love your meat, yes or no? Yes, you probably would, if you had in your house vegetable for 1 week, you probably have riots in South Africa, huh? Big riots, big riots. Hey man, where the meat gone, huh? Where the meat gone, huh? You're gonna have big riots here. So if you can't stay away from your meat for a week, can you imagine staying away from meat, veg, all food for one entire year? It's not gonna be a small fitna that's gonna come about. So when it comes about, it's gonna be a massive test. And if you think it's easy, then why is it that we're not in the religion today when Dajjal is not even around? Those people who are not attached to the religion today will find it very difficult to be in the religion when Dajjal comes around. Because Dajjal will be everywhere. His men will be everywhere. Everywhere. You cannot twitch without his men reporting back about you and what you're doing. Your religion will be very difficult to follow when Dajjal comes. Every masjid he will enter. Every masjid on the earth except for the Haramain. He won't be able to enter those. But every other masjid, his men will come in, he'll come in, whatever. There's no hiding from him. So what did the Prophet ﷺ tell us to do?
بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ سَبْعًا.
Quickly do your actions before 7 calamities come along.
هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا.
What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a poverty that will come to you? A poverty that will make you forget God?
أو تنتظرون غنى مطغيا.
Are you waiting for a rich state of yours? A wealthy state that will come in the future that will make you exceed the limits of God? Both poverty and richness are two different problems. Do you guys understand or not? People think once you got money, you got everything. Once you got money, you got new problems. Are the problems of the poor man more or the problems of the rich man more? Which one? Oh, subhanallah. You guys are awake. The problems of the rich man are more than the problems of the poor man. Because the poor man, what he does is every day he goes out there, he just about works, gets some money just to feed his stomach and feed the stomach of his family, and that's his biggest worry. But he's got no energy, no time, no money for sin. Do you guys understand? Do you guys understand? Yeah. He's got no time for that. When a rich man gets money, he gives 10,000 here, 20,000 here, this son 10,000, that son 20,000, and they're all happy when he gives them 10,000, 20,000. He gives his wife like 30,000, go and buy what you want. She buys what she wants. After a few weeks, he's given 10,000. 1 month comes, and he gives 10,000, and they look at it and say, is that it? Is that it? You just giving 10,000? Is that it? Just 10,000? You're not giving more than 10,000? No more than 10,000? Just 10,000? You got a big problem, bro. His wife now has become a spendaholic. His sons are losing their boundaries and limits, and he himself doesn't know whether he's going right or left. He's got so much money, and then he's got jealousy. Then he's got, bribe. People wanna come and get bribed to come near his door. Then he's got problems of people wanting to attack him, steal him, take things off him. He's got big worries. But anyway, my thing is that the hadith tells us, faqran munsiya, when you're in poverty, it can make you forget God. But when you're in richness, it can make you exceed the limit. أَوْ مَرَضًا مُفْسِدًا. Are you waiting for a state when you become ill that it will corrupt your body? SubhanAllah, today we're in a state where your health is something. When you have health, then you can go out there and do whatever you want, good or bad. But you don't have health, you can't do anything. Your whole mind doesn't want to do anything. أَوْ مَرَضًا مُفْسِدًا. أَوْ مَوْتًا مُجْهِزًا. Are you waiting for a situation when there's a sudden death, and the sudden death will take you out? أَوْ حَرَمًا مُفْنِدًا. أَوْ مَوْتًا مُجْهِزًا. Are you waiting for a state when you get to old age and the old age keeps you crippled? When you get to old age, you're just about barely moving your limbs. That's another calamity. So either poverty hits you, or richness will hit you, or an illness will hit you, or old age will hit you, or the fifth thing is a sudden death will hit you, or number six, the Prophet says, أَوِدْ دَجَّالْ فَشَرُّ غَائِبٍ يُنْتَظَرْ. Or are you waiting for Dajjal to come? Because Dajjal is going to be the worst of all the evils ever to come to the earth. The worst of evils that has ever been prophesied or awaited for. There's no bigger fitna on this earth, no bigger tribulation for humans on this earth than Dajjal. And then he says, أَوِسَّاعَ فَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. Or are you waiting for the last hour? Because once the last hour comes, it's going to be very catastrophic and it's going to be very bitter. So which one of the seven are we waiting for? My friends, the whole point of this little reminder is that the Day of Judgment is coming nearer. The signs of the Day of Judgment, all the minor signs have appeared. And the minor signs have increased and are increasing. They're increasing. They increase in the quality, but they've all appeared. None of the major signs have appeared, but honestly, don't make dua to be around when the major signs are around. Don't make dua for that. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us lives on this earth that we don't see those signs in our lives. Ameen. Because you wanna, honestly, you wanna go before that. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is that near the end of time, a man will go past a grave and he will say to the person in the grave, you're in a better place than me. Can you imagine this? You're in a better place than me because you're dead, you got no worries. I'm alive, I've got all these worries on the earth. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us to hurry up and do the action before any one of these hits us. And my friends, none of this, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you have got good health, whether you're healthy, whatever situation you're in, nothing is guaranteed on this earth. One way or another, you're going to end up going from this earth. And when you go from this earth, subhanallah, nobody goes in style. You understand? Some people, subhanallah, you know, the world today has become the world of selfies. The world of what? Selfies. They don't take one photo. Have you ever stood for a photo? They don't take one photo, they take three. Trinity. World of selfies. They want to take selfies and videos and selfies and send them on social media and everyone saying this name and look at this person and subhanallah, they're giving you a big name and wow, my name, my status, my everything. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And when they take the selfie, they don't take it on a normal day, huh? They don't take it on a normal day. It has to be on the day when you're looking the best, the sharpest. Yeah? When they look at me, they're going to say, when I come out dressed, when I come out with my best clothes, when I come out with the sun shining, when I come out, they're going to look at me. And don't forget, normally in 24 hours you never smile, but when the selfie comes out, you smile. Right, that's how you smile. Those grumpy people, I tell you. Never smile. You never see them smile on the streets, but when it's selfie, they smile. But the point I want to say to you, 1 more minute, I'll finish it. The point I want to say to you is that the day when we die, there's no selfie. Forget the selfie. You know all those days that you put yourself out there with a big name? They called you by your name. You had nice names, yeah? The day when me and you are dead and the janazah body is coming inside the masjid, you realize they don't even call you by your name. They say, make way for the deceased to be brought forward. Make way for the body to be brought to the front. Your name today, my friend, is body. You're a body, that's all you are. You're the deceased, the mayit. They call you the mayit, they call you the deceased, they call you the dead body. That's all they call you. They don't even say, make way for Haji Abdul Rahman ibn whatever, subhanallah. You know, who used to have this status, who had 61,000 Facebook likes, bring him forward. Yes. Yo. The one that had half a million followers on Twitter, bring him forward. We're going to pay our respects to him. No way. You're a body. You're a dead man. You're nothing else. They don't even call you by your name. And by the time you've gone 6 foot down, even your family after a few days have forgotten to come again and again to your grave, and your friends have long forgotten you. You became the conversation in the cafes, you become the conversation in a few houses. After a few days, few weeks, that even goes. After a few months, they might remember you once a year. After a few years, they won't even come to your gravestone. After a few more decades, your gravestone, whether it's there or not, whether it's got mold there or not, nobody even knows, and the whole thing is gone and you are long forgotten. So don't you waste your life thinking you're somebody today, because my name and your name tomorrow is going to be the mayyit. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Jazakumullah khair.